This is the Parallax for Saturday, January 31st, 2026. Multiple angles, one picture. Here's what you need to know today. The Department of Justice released over 3.5 million pages of documents Friday related to Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking investigation, marking the largest disclosure yet under the Epstein Files Transparency Act. The files reveal financial transfers to UK politicians' associates, email exchanges between Epstein and prominent figures, including Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick and Tesla CEO Elon Musk, and communications with individuals close to former President Clinton. The DOJ cautioned that the files contain sensationalist, false claims about Trump submitted before the 2020 election. While survivors criticized the release as incomplete, and argued that victims' names were exposed while powerful men remained protected. The Guardian frames the files as exposing a web of elite complicity, noting that redactions may be hiding additional damaging information about Trump officials. The Washington Examiner emphasizes the Trump administration's protective framing, reporting the DOJ's assertion that claims against Trump are sensationalist, and highlighting correspondence with current officials like Lutnick. Axios focuses on a specific revelation, an apparent message from Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell to a Clinton-linked email address, as a discreet newsworthy data point without broader narrative framing. Meanwhile, Newsmax and the Daily Wire emphasize victim complaints about the release's incompleteness and note the DOJ's defense that it erred on the side of overcollection. Turning to the federal government, a partial shutdown went into effect Saturday after the House failed to vote on a Senate-passed funding package. Following Democratic refusal to approve Department of Homeland Security spending in the wake of two fatal ICE shootings in Minneapolis. The Senate passed a compromise deal Friday with overwhelming bipartisan support, 71-29, that would fund most federal agencies through September 30th while giving DHS a two-week extension. But the House remained in recess, preventing a vote. Democrats leveraged the deaths of Minneapolis nurse Alex Preti and another U.S. citizen killed by federal immigration agents to demand new restrictions on ICE operations, marking rare leverage for the opposition party against Trump's mass deportation agenda. The Guardian characterizes the shutdown as a Democratic victory born from tragedy, emphasizing how the Minneapolis killings upended spending talks and gave Democrats unexpected leverage to negotiate ICE restrictions. Fox News frames it as a revolt by Democrats, highlighting Republican frustration that a funding bill passed with strong bipartisan support was stalled by House delays, portraying the blockade as politically motivated rather than substantive. Bloomberg reports the procedural reality neutrally. The Senate passed package funds non-DHS programs fully while extending DHS funding for 2 weeks, allowing further negotiation without broader shutdown impacts. In related news, President Trump announced Friday his nomination of former Federal Reserve Governor Kevin Warsh, 55, to chair the Federal Reserve, selecting an outspoken Fed critic to replace Jerome Powell. Warsh, who served as a Fed governor during Trump's first term, has publicly questioned the central bank's independence and voiced support for lower interest rates aligned with Trump's preferences. The nomination sparked immediate market turbulence. Gold and silver prices plummeted following the announcement, while bond markets registered mixed signals and divided lawmakers on Capitol Hill, with Republicans praising Warsh's experience and Democrats questioning whether he would maintain the Fed's institutional independence from political pressure. The Guardian leads with Trump's apparent success in finding a leader willing to bend to presidential will, framing Warsh as a nominee who would provide exactly that type of leadership Trump seeks, and highlighting months of Trump's campaign to influence Fed policymaking. Bloomberg presents competing expert assessments. Nobel laureate Paul Romer argues Trump does not believe in Fed independence and could impose wage and price controls, while the bond market's mixed reaction suggests investors view Warsh as avoiding worst-case scenarios without clarity on rate impacts. Fox News emphasizes the Capitol Hill battle lines, reporting Republicans' praise for Warsh's credentials versus Democrats' concerns about independence, framing the nomination as sparking a constitutional separation of powers debate. Internationally, the UN's International Atomic Energy Agency raised alarms Friday about the risks of nuclear meltdown at Ukrainian power plants, as Russian strikes systematically target electrical substations needed to cool reactor cores. Russian attacks have already cut power to several Ukrainian nuclear facilities, forcing backup systems to activate. Continued infrastructure degradation could overwhelm redundancies and trigger catastrophic failures. The warning underscores the escalating humanitarian and environmental stakes of Russia's war on Ukraine, particularly as Kyiv faces a bitter winter with civilians already experiencing electricity shortages and sub-zero temperatures. Al Jazeera emphasizes the immediate humanitarian catastrophe, leading with Russian attacks creating nuclear safety risks while Ukrainians already face deadly cold without power. The BBC contextualizes the IAEA warning within broader Ukraine survival concerns, noting that a pause in Russian strikes on Kyiv, reportedly requested by Trump and agreed to by Moscow through February 1st, provides only temporary relief amid systemic energy collapse. Meanwhile, President Trump ordered a military buildup near Iran with a naval force larger than the Venezuela deployment, while simultaneously declaring Iran wants to make a deal to avoid military strikes. Iranian officials responded by announcing readiness for fair talks, but rejected negotiations under the shadow of threats and warned that the country's missile programs were non-negotiable. Saudi Arabia privately told Trump that backing down from military threats would embolden Iran, reversing earlier public cautions against escalation. While oil markets responded with volatility as traders weighed both conflict risk and potential diplomatic resolution, Al Jazeera treats the military posture and diplomatic signals as contradictory, reporting Iran's foreign minister's insistence on threat-free talks while documenting Trump's warship deployment, framing the situation as escalation masked by negotiation rhetoric. Axios reports the Saudi reversal as a significant development, presenting Prince Khalid bin Salman's private briefing as a strategic shift that influenced Trump's military buildup decision, emphasizing geopolitical maneuvering over stated positions. Bloomberg focuses on market mechanics, documenting how Trump's claim that Iran wants a deal deflated an oil rally driven by conflict premium, while hedge funds positioned bullishly on Brent crude. In Gaza, Israeli military operations killed 12 Palestinians, including 6 children, Friday amid violations of the ceasefire agreement, with attacks reported in Rafah a day before the border crossing was scheduled to reopen for humanitarian aid. Multiple Israeli airstrikes also struck southern Lebanon, breaching the November 2024 ceasefire with Hezbollah. The incidents mark continued friction over ceasefire implementation despite international mediation efforts. Al Jazeera leads with casualty counts and civilian impact, emphasizing the pattern of Israeli operations continuing despite ceasefire status, and noting the timing of attacks immediately before humanitarian corridor reopening. The BBC reports ceasefire breaches, factually documenting both Gaza and Lebanon violations without interpretive framing about responsibility or intent. And finally, precious metals suffered their largest single-day declines in decades Friday after Trump named Kevin Warsh to lead the Federal Reserve, with gold and silver plummeting as investors' inflation hedge positioning suddenly reversed. The massive sell-off exposed concentrated bullish positioning that unwound rapidly once the Warsh nomination signaled potential Fed independence concerns had diminished. The decline delivered sharp losses to retail and institutional investors who had accumulated metals specifically as protection against Fed debasement, illustrating how quickly consensus assumptions can collapse in crowded trades. MarketWatch frames the crash as a painful lesson about concentration risk, arguing that if safe assets like gold and silver can implode, investors need portfolio recalibration, and highlighting the false security bullish positioning offered. Axios documents the mechanics. Gold and silver soared as if they were meme stocks, driven by Fed independence fears, and the Warsh pick served as the catalyst for an inevitable retreat in a prime-to-crash asset class. Bloomberg reports that sophisticated investors were already offloading long-dated bonds ahead of the Warsh announcement, suggesting institutional actors exited before retail investors faced losses. That's the Parallax for Saturday, January 31st, 2026. For links to all sources and the full written digest, visit readparallax.com. Thanks for listening.